morning, Proverbs chapter 1. Last week we spent a few moments studying chapter 1, verses 10 to 19, on the issue of sin's call, the subject of sin. The first major subject the book of Proverbs deals with is the subject of sin, from verses 10 to 19. And we noted from this passage of Scripture that God's mandate for you and I is to not only say no to sin, but God wants us, according to verse number 15, to be prepared to stand alone and be prepared to turn back if you find yourself in a situation that is leading you into committing sin. Wisdom would say, would humbly admit, I'm going down the wrong pathway here. I need to get off this street, so to speak. So the subject of sin is dealt with in verses 10 to 19. From verses 20 to 33, the subject of these verses is the issue of wisdom crying out. And that is the title of my sermon this morning, Wisdom Cries Out. Verses 10 to 19, sin's call. Verses 20 to 33, wisdom cries out. Let's read verses 20 down to verse number 23. Wisdom crieth out. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you, and I will make known my words unto you. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the opportunity to be found within this place of worship. And I do ask and pray now that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit, that you would guide us and lead us into an understanding of your eternal word. And Lord God, reveal to us, please, those areas that need to change, that we might be more Christ-like in all that we do and say. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. The subject of wisdom, here in chapter 1, of the book of Proverbs, from verses 2 to 5, the Bible gives us a 5-point outline for the book of Proverbs. God offers to you and I wisdom within the realm of knowing the will of God that we might obey it. God offers us wisdom that will enable us to be discerning, to perceive. God offers us wisdom that will warn us concerning danger ahead. And also God offers us wisdom within the realm of giving His understanding, His wisdom, within those areas of which we lack knowledge and are gullible or ignorant concerning. And also, last but not least, the book of Proverbs gives to us wisdom that will enable to bring about maturity, that will mature the young man or the inexperienced, so to speak. These are five key purposes of this wonderful book. And as I've already said, verses 10 to 19 deal with the issue of sin calling out to you and I. In verse number 10 it reads, My son, if sin has enticed thee, consent thou not. And God's wisdom for you and I is to say no to sin. And that involves you and I taking a stand, as it reads in verse number 15, and be prepared to stand alone. Walk not thou in the way with them. And then refrain thy foot from their path. Get off that track that's leading you down the wrong pathway. Now it's wisdom's turn. We see the enticement of sin personified in verses 10 down to verse number 19 and the judgment that prevails for those that will listen to the voice of sin. But here in verses 20 until the end of the chapter, wisdom is personified. It's as if wisdom is crying out as an individual, just crying out, wanting to be heard and wanting to be heeded. Just like sin cries out and wants to be acknowledged and wants to be followed, so likewise wisdom cries out and wants you and I to take note and to follow his guidance. So we see in verses 20 and 21 the cry of wisdom. And there's two main principles I'd like for us to note that are found within these two verses. First and foremost, in verse number 20, the Bible reads, she uttereth her voice in the streets. Now, when you think of a street, this is a public area. This is a domain in which all can be involved and all can hear. And the principle for you and I concerning wisdom is simply this, according to verse number 20. God's wisdom is openly available to all. God's wisdom is openly available to all. If you want the wisdom of God, it is openly available to you and to me. And the same thought is continued in verse number 21, where it basically develops this idea that wisdom uttereth or cries out in the streets so that all can hear. She crieth in the chief place of concourse. A concourse is an area that is populated. I've noticed that they've called the new facilities there at Chatswood the concourse. And that's rightfully used because it is full of people. That area there in Chatswood is full of people. The thought of that area gives me a headache. I don't like Chatswood. As a kid, I used to like Chatswood. Back in the days when there was only Target and Woolies in Chatswood, and one milk bar, George's Milk Bar, and there was one takeaway Chinese restaurant, and that was Victoria Road. They were the main points of entertainment there in Chatswood. But it's no longer like that. Now we have this new concourse, and the word concourse means a place that is heavily populated. And the Bible teaches us that God makes his wisdom available to all, and God is interested in making his wisdom available to all people, wherever they might be, especially within these populated areas. God's wisdom is available to all. And also it reads in verse number 21, in the openings of the gates, within a city, within the biblical setting, a main city for the sake of protection and identification and security, there would be gates that would surround a main city, i.e. the city of Jerusalem. And the Bible teaches us and likens wisdom as being available to all, and it's as if wisdom is just in the gates. Everybody uses the gates to enter, to exit the city, in the common places, in the entry points, in the departure points, right in the hub, in the concourse, where all the people are, there is wisdom. So in other words, God is teaching us this morning concerning the fact that wisdom cries out. Wisdom wants to be heard. God wants you to hear his wisdom, and his wisdom is available for you and I this morning. But the issue is, are you listening? Are you listening to God's wisdom? Wisdom is not secretive, like many of these false religions in our day have all these secret isms. The Masons are a classic. The Mason religion is a cult. They claim to be Christian. They are nothing, they are everything else but Christian. Within the Mason cult religion, they have all of these secret rituals and passwords and different things that if you get to this level, then you can go on to this level. It's all very secretive. The Mormons have some secret elements to their religion. And the list goes on, and you'll find within most false religions there will be secret elements. But this is so contrary to the Word of God. God's wisdom is open and available to all. See? Wisdom crieth out. Now note then verse number 22. As wisdom cries out, wisdom addresses three kinds of people and is wanting to be heard. Note then verse 22, the Bible reads that wisdom cries out to the simple. How long? For how much longer will you, the simple ones, will you love simplicity? So wisdom addresses the simple. Now the simple here is in reference to those that are deliberately choosing to be ignorant or gullible concerning God's wisdom. They are choosing to be deliberately ignorant. Now, there are some things that it is wise to be ignorant in. I'm absolutely ignorant concerning what takes place during most evenings on that TV. I'm absolutely ignorant, and I thank God for that. See? I asked my grade 5 scripture class to just fill out a little survey for me. And I asked them this question, what is your favorite TV show? What is your favorite computer game? What is your favorite movie? And I thank God that I had no idea about any of the above. I had no idea. And I thank God for that. That's wise simplicity. To what avail would it be? It probably disturbed me to really know what these children are really watching. But the point is simply this. There are some areas that, yes, it is wise to not know. But the context of the scriptures, when it uses the word simplicity, it's in reference to that individual that chooses to be deliberately gullible or ignorant of facts that relate to one's spiritual well-being. And wisdom cries out, and wisdom is asking the question, how long, how much longer are you going to be ignorant of my wisdom? It's as if wisdom is sitting you and I down and saying, how much longer are you going to choose to be ignorant concerning my wisdom that I'm trying to impart to you? See? So the simple is this individual that's unteachable, rebellious. Teenagers, please. Young adults, please, don't choose to be simple concerning God's wisdom. Don't choose to be deliberately ignorant concerning what God has to say that will help us to walk wisely. Let me give you an example of this. There in Proverbs chapter 18, please. Look at Proverbs chapter 18. There's a wonderful piece of wisdom here within this verse that you and I need to guard our hearts lest we be ignorant of. Note then Proverbs 18:14, and I thought about this because it seems like of late many of our church family members are struggling with their physical health. Quite a number. And the Spirit of God brought this verse back to mind. Note then Proverbs 18:14, the Bible reads, The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. But a wounded spirit, who can bear? The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. The infirmity here is in reference to his sicknesses. But it also makes reference to the possibility of developing a wounded spirit. So what this verse is saying in essence is simply this. Don't allow your physical illness to affect your spirit. It is possible to allow our physical ailments. The Bible teaches us that we are a triune being, are we not? Body, soul, spirit. We're interconnected. Our physical can affect our mind, will and emotions. Am I right or not? Our physical can affect our spirit. It's all interconnected. So the Bible teaches us here that the spirit is the one that needs to uphold our infirmity. In other words, we need to maintain a spiritual perspective in the difficulties that God allows into our lives. Especially when it comes to our physical, because that can be very discouraging. I'm sure if the doctor was to say to me, per se tomorrow, Mario, you've got 1 week to live. The most. Now I can take that two ways. I can choose to be spiritual about it and allow the Spirit of God to dominate this reality. Okay, I've got 1 week to go. Thank you, God, that you're giving me up to a week. How can I glorify you for this week? That's a spiritual perspective. But when you and I allow the physical to take control, and I decide to have a pity party because I only have 1 week to live and to begin to question the goodness of God, and to make statements like, God, I'm a pastor. I've got a young family. I'm only 49. This isn't fair. Why are you allowing this in my life? What have I done to deserve this? And I allow my physical infirmity to dictate my mind, will and emotions and thereby infect my spirit, what that can lead to is a wounded spirit. A wounded spirit. There are many people that struggle with physical infirmities that have wounded spirits. You can say amen right there. Because they've allowed their physical ailments to dictate to them. And thereby it's broken their spirit. See? Now this is God's wisdom. Don't be ignorant of this biblical truth, please. So as God allows you and I to go through physical infirmities and when we struggle with our health per se, let's maintain a spiritual perspective that God is in control. And God will use my difficulty, my ailments for His glory. God might be opening up an opportunity that I might better minister to somebody else per se that only has a week to live. See? Wisdom cries out and he's asking the question, hey, you ignorant ones out there, why are you continuing to be ignorant of my wisdom? But also he addresses the scorner there in verse 22. And the scorners delight in their scorning. What is a scorner? A scorner is somebody that makes fun of or mocks the Word of God. They laugh off the Word of God. We have scorners on the increase today, do we not? They come within the realm of claiming to be atheists. Sodomites are scorners. Unfortunately, we've got the Mardi Gras next Saturday. How sad. How sad. And I can assure you in the midst of all that surrounds this filthy, dishonoring event in our city, If you listen carefully, but don't listen too carefully, it'll discourage you, you will find scorners. They will blaspheme Almighty God. Mark my words. They will work at ways to blaspheme Almighty God. Within the realm of evolution, the evolutionists, we find scorning. We see it within the sports world and within the entertainment world. We see that people are making fun of the Word of God. And wisdom cries out, and wisdom wants to be heard, and wisdom is saying, hey, you simple ones, why continue to be deliberately ignorant of my wisdom? And for you scorners, why are you constantly laughing off, making fun of my truth? But also note then verse 22. Wisdom also addresses the fool. And fools hate knowledge. To be a fool is the opposite of being wise. This is that individual that openly despises the wisdom of God. See? And do we not see this all around us? God's wisdom, in His infinite wisdom, put together the family unit. It's not complicated. One man for one woman. Commitment to marriage for life. Till death do us part. That's God's ideal. God's ideal. I've been told that in Scotland they're doing away with the reference to the male and female as being a reference to marriage. How sad. How sad. So God's wisdom is just so basic and not difficult to comprehend. And wisdom cries out to that person that deliberately hates the wisdom of God. See? And the Bible's full of wisdom. And people are deliberately have chosen to hate God's wisdom. Fools hate knowledge. These ones that despise the wisdom of God. Another example of that is found there in chapter 23, verse number 32, please. Proverbs, chapter 23, verse number 32. So wisdom is crying out. Wisdom is saying, hey, please listen to me. Please listen to me. Those of you that hate my wisdom, please listen to me. Look at verse number 32. Now verses 29 to 35 of this chapter deal with the curse of alcohol. Deal with the subject of alcohol's curse in the life of an individual. But note then verse 32, at the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. And what that means in essence is that alcohol is like a poisonous snake. Once bitten equals death. It's poisonous. It's like handling a poisonous snake. That's the danger of alcohol. You will get bitten and it will kill you with a single bite. It's as simple as that. Now that's Bible wisdom. But the world hates that. See? If you were to be brave enough to go to a pub and open the front door and say, hey, listen everybody, you guys are drinking poison. It's like you're handling a poisonous snake. It's going to kill you. Well, I don't imagine they'll be awfully excited about your announcement. They'll hate you. You won't make any friends. That's what wisdom is like. The fool doesn't want to befriend wisdom. That's why it reads, the fools hate knowledge. See? So wisdom's crying out and wisdom is saying, hey, listen to me. Don't continue to be gullible. You that make fun of the things of God, stop that. Take the word of God seriously. And those of you that hate my wisdom, consider my wisdom and the benefits of following my wisdom. So wisdom's crying out. Are you listening? Are you listening? Look at verse number 23, please. Turn you at my reproof. Repent, in other words. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. So within this verse, God invites the simple, the scorner, that individual that hates the wisdom of God. God invites these individuals to repent and to receive His wisdom. And God promises that His Holy Spirit will reveal wisdom to that individual that genuinely repents. So a person, in order to receive the wisdom of God, they must acknowledge the fact that I've been living unwisely. I must repent. I must have a biblical perspective on life. And the Bible teaches us, for that person that will take heed to God's reproof, for that individual that is willing to repent of their unwise ways, God promises to reveal wisdom in the power of the Holy Spirit. I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. So here we have a reference to wisdom crying out and calling for repentance. And my friend this morning, wisdom cries out this morning to you and I. Repent. For those of you that are choosing to be ignorant of Bible truth, for those of us that are scorning Bible truth, for those of us that are deliberately have a hatred for Bible truth. Oh, you might like some of the Bible, but you don't like these parts that touch the nerve of your life. I charge you to repent. And if you will repent, the Holy Spirit of God will give you an understanding of His truth, will give you an understanding of His wisdom. But there must be repentance. Repentance is involved in salvation. In Acts chapter 17, verse number 30, the Bible teaches us that God commands all men to repent of their sin. And my friend, this morning, the first point of repentance involves you and I being reconciled back to God. The Bible teaches us that we are all sinful and separated from a holy God. And the Bible teaches us that Jesus Christ died, was buried, and arose from the dead. And for every man, woman, and child that will repent and receive Jesus Christ as their Savior, that person can be born into the family of God. Repentance is also necessary for the child of God. We as God's people need to get right with God from time to time, do we not? Just like that prodigal son went for a bit of a wander, left his father's will, left his father's wishes, but thank God that he came to himself and he realized that he was going in the wrong direction, that he needed to turn back and go back and return back to his father. So wisdom cries out. And my friend, when a person openly rejects God's wisdom in the Word of God, they will from then on lack the ability to see it. And may I submit to you, my friend, this morning, listen to me very carefully. If you reject the wisdom of God, then you will, in time, you will have a blindness and you will not be able to see the wisdom of God. It will be like a blind spot in your life. When you openly reject the wisdom of God, there will be a blind spot over your life. See? That's the sentence. And that's just only the beginning. And as we read on from verses 23 and following, In verses 24 and 25, the Bible teaches us concerning how did people reject his wisdom. Look at verses 24 and 25. Are you still with me this morning? This is very, very important. I'm not here to hurt you, I'm here to help you. Believe me. I'm a pastor, you've been awfully mean this morning. No, I haven't, I've just told you what the Bible teaches. I'm trying to impart wisdom. Wisdom cries out. See? Look at verse 24 and 25. Because I have called, that's wisdom, and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. Look at verse 25. But ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. So within these two verses, the Bible gives us some insight concerning how do people actually reject wisdom? Good question. How do we do that? Well, verse 24 tells us that a person can outwardly and openly reject God's wisdom by choosing to outwardly and obviously reject it, to refuse it. I have called, note the wording there in verse 24, it's very picturesque, isn't it? I've called and you've refused. You've ignored me. Have you ever been ignored? Not very pleasant. I still remember as a teenager, I was in year 7 and I hadn't long been at my new high school there in Crow's Nest, and there was a 254 that I had to catch just beyond the corner of Falcon and Pacific Highway. And this was the bus that I would catch to go home. And I remember in those early days, those early weeks of making my way to the bus stop, and I happened to be the only one at the stop at that time, and I noticed a 254 approaching, but he was going awfully fast, and he was in the middle lane, and I signaled, you know, a little 13-year-old kid, signaled, and there's this 254 that just, he just literally ignored me. Stayed in the middle lane, literally ignored me. And as you know, I've been bitter ever since. He knew I was waiting for him. He knows where the bus stops are. That's his job. Whether it's 1 or 100, you pick up and you drop off passengers. But he deliberately stayed in the middle lane and he deliberately sped up. He sped up! I'm telling you, as he got closer towards me, he sped up and just looked forward. I felt like he refused me. Openly refused me. And that's what wisdom feels like before you and I. Wisdom puts its hand out and cries out, will you take me in? I'm going to benefit you. I pay for your job. That's what I felt like saying to that bus driver. If you don't pick up passengers, you're not going to make money. Eventually you'll lose a job. We refuse. We so commonly refuse the wisdom of God as it comes by our way. And verse 25 goes on to read, look at verse 25, it tells us that another means by which we reject the wisdom of God is that we place no value on God's wisdom. Look at verse 25, please. And ye have set at naught. The word naught means of no value, nothing. So we see no real value in the wisdom of God. Either we openly reject, refuse, or we see no value in the wisdom of God. And my friend, this morning I would submit to you and I that we as the people of God can be guilty of not only refusing God's wisdom. Young people, listen to me. The Bible teaches us a Christian should only marry a Christian. That is the wisdom of God. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Amen, Pastor. Thank you. That's what the Bible teaches. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 to 17. Don't be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. That's God's wisdom. I'm afraid that some will reject that in the years to come. The love of money is the root of all evil. The love of money is the root of all evil. That's wisdom speaking. The love of money, not money, the love of money is the root, the base of evil to come. That's the wisdom of God. So some of God's people can be guilty of refusing, but I'm afraid, and I feel this is the greater problem, and just my opinion as a pastor, I think the greater issue here is that many of God's people do not value. We don't see the value of wisdom. I think this is a greater issue, in my opinion, for the people of God. We look at a vehicle and we say, oh, that's a valuable vehicle. We look at a lovely piano and we say to ourselves, that's a valuable piece of instrument. We look at our clothing and say, well, that's a valuable piece of clothing. We look at homes and we make reference to the fact, well, that's valuable real estate. But then when it comes to the Bible, God's wisdom, we take it or leave it. Talk to me. We just don't see the value. But wisdom's crying out, my friend, this morning. Don't refuse it. Don't devalue it. Don't be a simpleton. Don't be a scorner. Don't be a fool. Repent. And God's Holy Spirit will reveal to you wisdom from His Scriptures, from His Word. Lord willing, next Sunday morning we will look at verses 26 to 33 and note God's judgment upon those that reject His wisdom. But you'll have to come back next week for that one. But until then, do you hear wisdom? He's crying out. He wants to be heard. He's not a member of some secret religious order that is hiding rituals and commitments from you. No, He stands in the concourse. He stands in the midst of where the people are. He stands at the gate. He's crying out, listen, I want to offer you wisdom that will help you and not hurt you. Are you listening this morning? Let's bow for prayer.